Welcome to Ray and Kay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Kay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show on this sunny Friday, at least on the East Coast. You're listening
we got
to
sun,
Ray
too.
And... Okay, you got sun all the time, though, so you're sitting lovely in Arizona. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Give us a call. Let's talk some sports. 718-664-9098. Like always, check out our website, rayandtaytoday.com. Email us your thoughts, your questions on any topic in sports at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook and tweet at us on Twitter. A lot of folks on Twitter. Great conversations, man. We talk with everybody. We even were talking to Larry Fitzgerald's dad chimed in with some Ray and Tay stuff. So it's great, man. And he's a sports writer in Minnesota. So, you know, we do it. So, Ray, we got a busy show, man, sort of all the sports. Why don't you lead us off and tell us what is the latest with the new man in golf with the last major of the year, Rory McIlroy?
So I'll give you an 80s movie reference. There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Reggie Hammond. Well, it appears that there is a new sheriff in town, and his name is Rory McIlroy, because this 25-year-old looks like he's doing big things. And
yeah.
fresh off having his, you know, best season, probably his comeback season, now he looks like he's in contention at the end of Friday to win his second major of the year. So Rory McIlroy -9, shot a 9-under today. He is off the course, of course. There's a couple of guys. Ricky Fowler's coming in. Jim Furyk's got he's
and
on
your
14.
Boy Miko.
Yeah, Miko Ilonen is only on 11 right now, and he's 2 strokes behind. Tied for second with Ryan Palmer. But the story is, look, Rory McIlroy, man, I tell you what, and he's 25. He may not be Tiger 15 years ago, but he's certainly ready to dominate.
He's hot,
I think his game is right. I think his head is now getting right. So we'll follow this over the weekend, of course, talk about it a little bit on Monday. But at the halfway mark, Rory McIlroy making the turn up to right now, and looking for a nice Saturday and Sunday at Valhalla.
You know what I thought was interesting? Going to tennis real quick, it looks like in the semis, Venus and Serena square are both won in the quarters and could meet in the championship. And it's good to see that both of the sisters are playing good tennis again right before the U.S. Open. So golf, tennis, men and women for, you know, Queens, New York, and all tennis fans should be pretty exciting for the U.S. Open, which is one of my favorite, you know, majors of the year in tennis.
Yeah, get your hard court shoes ready, because, you know, in a couple weeks, right around Labor Day, the U.S. Open straddles Labor Day. So, yeah, Flushing Meadows, there's a little tennis court over there that we like to go to, the U.S. Open. It's a really fun event, so I don't know if our listeners have ever been, but if you are in New York in August or early September, get some tickets. Doesn't even matter where you sit. You can bounce around. You can see Arthur Ashe Stadium. It's awesome. It really is a fun experience.
Yeah.
Day session.
No, it's going to be great. And it's good to see some American tennis players potentially might be in the running, especially the sisters. And I feel for Venus. You know, she's had more health issues than Serena, and it'd be nice before they both have to retire if Venus can actually win another major. That would be nice and impressive. So we've got so much to get into, and starting with the NBA, I don't know where to begin, but before we get to the love and LeBron, the GM, and the love, let's talk about Team USA. Your boy Kevin Durant pulls out. Didn't seem like he was into it. People were saying, Colangelo said, I think probably so much basketball, the Paul George injury, yada, yada, yada. he pulled out. But maybe it's because his pockets are so darn heavy. $325 million for 10 years with Under Armour, Ray. I think for that, he could go play any team he wants and get a dollar because he is already paid in full. That's impressive.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe it's naive of me, and I'm usually the cynic, but I do believe that Kevin Durant is about the love of the game. I mean, obviously he wants to get paid and obviously he wants to set up his family, but I feel like he's one of those throwback players. Even though you can see him on some Sprint commercials and you see him doing his thing off the court and Under Armour, but I really feel like Kevin Durant is all about the game of basketball, all about winning, a little bit like Kobe in a different way, but same
right.
dedication to the game. He's in the gym. He's practicing. He's this. He's not going out there trying to be the world's most famous basketball player. He's trying to be the world's best basketball player.
Yeah.
So good
yeah.
for him. And you know what? It must be mentally exhausting to go through what he went through. And he's carried this U.S. Olympic team now for 4 or 5 years. So he's been the leading scorer. He plays the four. You know, he has to play big in international
yeah.
ball. So
I'm not upset with him pulling out. If you're not mentally all in it and you're tired, you could get hurt. And, you know, so I think that they'll still win. But remember, it is in Spain, the FIBA World Cup, you know, starting the end of August. And I do wonder about our roster with all that size. They added Rudy Gay. So we were both saying off air that might mean the end of Kyle Korver or Parsons when they, you know, get down to the final 12 guys. It'll be interesting to see who they wind up taking. But needless to say, I got to believe this is a benefit for the Sacramento Kings if Rudy Gay plays and makes the team along with him and Boogie Cousins, because I think being around other great players, it just makes you better and will improve the Kings in the long run. So I'm happy
yeah,
for Rudy
I mean,
Gay.
Yeah, look at what happened with Carmelo, right? Everybody kept saying how Carmelo was selfish and he was a one-way player. And every time he came back, and now granted, he was playing with Jason Kidd and he was playing with LeBron and Kobe. And every time he came back after a world basketball summer, everybody kept raving about him. And Carmelo was a star to begin with. So let alone these
right.
kids, like you said, Cousins and Gay, who have superstar talent, but haven't put it all together. Part of it is because they've been on bad teams, but they look to benefit probably the most from this Team USA.
Definitely.
But
I got to warm your heart, Ray. Let me warm your heart real quick. A couple minor signings. Your boy Marshawn Brooks, who I thought would go to Pacers, he's bouncing over to Italy. But I got a couple of minor signings I just got to mention and then really warm your heart. So the Heat, they're picking up guys around Tyler Johnson, who played at Fresno State, 6'4", skinny point guard. They signed Reggie Williams, who used to play for, I think, the Bobcats and the Thunder, small forward. And the Rockets picked up Kostas Pakadoulou or whatever. They agreed to bring him over to Houston, I think another big guy or stretch four, whatever he is. But the Blazers signed somebody to a one-year deal, non-guaranteed, and he went to Syracuse. Your man, James Sutherland, signs with the Blazers.
Okay.
How do you like that?
Another shooter, and he's a shooter with size. So,
not bad.
Look, you can
end of the bench,
do worse.
But not bad.
I like that. So, look, we've talked about basketball, and it's hard to talk more about basketball without talking about this trade. Now, let me tell you something. Did you see the tweet that Isaiah Thomas put out? He said that LeBron James is the best GM in the NBA.
Can you argue it? It's really not up for debate right now. I mean, wow. And it looks like Sean Marion will sign to James Jones, Mike Miller. The beat goes on, and they look like they're going to be 8 or 9 deep. But what I thought about this trade that was rumored to be, and it's coming across today, this afternoon, that it is, the Sixers are actually going to acquire Anthony Bennett and move Thaddeus Young to Minnesota. So I actually like Minnesota with their young roster. If the Shabazz and the Gorgui Dieng and, you know, LaVine and these guys can get it together, getting Wiggins and Young and having Rubio and Kevin Martin, Minnesota's really not that bad. They're going to be different. But let's see what happens before people kill Minnesota. And look, the guy wasn't going to stay there, so to get Wiggins,
exactly,
a pick and Young, that's not bad.
You cannot kill Minnesota because, like you said, they weren't getting anything if they were going to wait till the end of the year. At the trade deadline, they may or may not have been able to get a better deal. But if you think about it, they're doing a three-way. But Anthony Bennett was a disappointment. But if you get three number one picks for Kevin Love, two of which were the number one overall pick, wow. I mean, what more can you get? Especially because the whole league knows he's not going to sign with you. So I think that's just fine. I think as a Minnesota fan, if you're the Minnesota GM, you're very happy. And like you said, getting Thaddeus Young, a proven player who for some reason never fit in Philly. They've always been trying to trade him, and I've always liked him. You know, he's on my lefty list, right? I got that list of lefties
that's
that I check in on every time.
Raise all lefty team.
I check the box score. He's not
on
my starting five.
He's a tweener, Ray. But he's very productive. So
he's
can
like,
play a little 3-4 in Minnesota.
We said it off air. He's like our boy Clarence Weatherspoon.
He's a tweener.
But you know what? He's a baller. He can play. He gets up and down. He's still pretty young. He's got a motor, and he's a lefty. So, you know, that's a nice trade. I like to trade for all parties. I mean, Philly, I don't know if they think they see something in Bennett or they just
want
to get rid of Young.
And you gotta say this, right, with them waiting for – they got Noel back, right, for this year. But with Embiid and Saric not being able to play this year, to get a Bennett – who will get some minutes, be young, and improve, I got to believe they'll have a nice, in a year or two, a nice big man rotation of Noel, Embiid, Saric, and Bennett. I think the Sixer fans have got to be nothing but excited. We heard from Mike, our caller from Pittsburgh, who's a Celtic fan, and even he agrees with me that the Sixers in, you know, 2018, 19, or 20 are looking like they could be a really tough team if everything pans out. But this is what I ask you about this year. Does Cleveland have the new next big three to win the title or championship this season or even next season? Can they win? Can this roster win? Let's just say you throw in Marion as well.
I was about to say, I think so. With a Ray Allen or a Marion or a Mike Miller, two out of the three, or even one out of three, I tell you what, the East is weaker now with LeBron trading himself from
right.
South Beach to
Akron. And then, unfortunately,
Akron,
the Pacers.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
And the Pacers now basically being devastated without,
George
and Stevenson.
Yeah.
So, to me, the East is wide open, right? Chicago is a big question mark. Washington has never been there, and historically, teams don't rise from nothing and go all the way to the championship. They typically go round by round, get better every year. I mean, this isn't a Miami Heat situation where you brought three of the top, 15 players of the league together. So I got to believe that Cleveland's the favorite in the East. And once you get to the finals, again, San Antonio keeps getting older. San Antonio is going to be one of the favorites. The Clippers, the Thunder, maybe if Portland can put it together, but I don't see why
Warriors,
a seven-game series.
Rockets,
and you figure because Cleveland plays in the East and the West teams beat up on each other, Cleveland may have home court on that Western Conference team. So I could see a scenario where maybe not this year, maybe next. Maybe Cleveland goes to the finals and loses, and then next year they go to the final and win. I don't know, but to me, LeBron is in his prime. He's got young studs around him. He's got a point guard. He's got
and him
Kevin
and Kevin
Love.
Love have played well together, in the Olympics. How much better do you think LeBron actually makes a Waiters, a Thompson, and Kyrie? Because I think that's where you'll see the growth in this team.
I think it makes it better from several standpoints. Number one, LeBron's a winner. So immediately – in a town that hasn't won in 60 years in any sport, LeBron comes back, the hometown kid, and he flexes his two rings. So immediately they get respect, four-time MVP, two-time champion. But more than that, I think the addition of Love, What it does is it takes pressure off of everybody. Kyrie Irving goes from being the number one scorer to the number three scorer on that team. So he can relax, get himself 15. He can do what Isaiah Thomas did in those Piston teams. He can get himself 15 to 18 points and 11 assists instead of, you know, having to score 23 and 16.
Exactly.
So,
and I think Waiters will get better, too, with the wide-open shot.
Sure, Waiters and Tristan Thompson and all those young guys, they slide down and the pressure's off. They're the fourth, fifth, sixth scorers, so they can just go out there and have fun. And the great thing is LeBron is not selfish. I think the days of LeBron scoring, you know, high 20s are probably over. LeBron's going to do what Larry Bird did towards the middle and end of his career. He'll score 23, 24. He'll also have 7-8 assists. He'll be your consummate triple-double guy. He won't be going for 35, 40 because he's got more scoring talent on his team now. So
they're
going to
be fun to watch.
Oh, it'll be great. It'll be great.
That is going to be some exciting ball. And LeBron and Love, they really, you know, Love is like a Bosch in terms of that stretch four. I think he's a better rebounder than Bosch, probably even a better scorer. I don't think he plays better defense, though. And so my question about Cleveland, when you match him up against, you know, Washington in the playoffs, Toronto and Chicago, Cleveland, their defense is the only spot you got to question. There's not too many defenders on that roster.
Well, they also have a new coach who has never coached in the NBA as a head coach. So that's a question mark. The defense, you're right. Kevin Love grabs a lot of rebounds, averaged almost 12.5 rebounds a game last year, but he's really not a straight-up, you know, post defender. He's a lot of weak side rebounds. He's a tenacious rebounder. But you're right. They have maybe two or three players on their roster that really play D, and that's why it would have been nice, but they had to give him up for Love. But it would have been nice to have Wiggins on that team, a young perimeter defender. But for the most part, Varejao, you know, a little bit of Tristan Thompson, I guess. Kyrie Irving is okay as a defender. You know, that'll be their weakness if they have one. But you know what?
Yeah.
It helps that your best player plays D. Right, like those
exactly.
Jordan teams, it helps when your best two players, in Jordan Pippen's case,
Pippen,
they both are as good on the defensive end as they are on the offensive end, and that's LeBron right now. So, you know, people were getting on LeBron this year for, you know, taking some possessions off and maybe not giving it his all on defense, but I think LeBron is going to see it more important that he plays D and less important that he scores 27. And
he's got
LeBron
to help
him.
That's what helps LeBron with this roster. Kevin Love and Kyrie, they can both get their own shots and they can score, and they're, you know, dependent, reliable scorers. So Cleveland fans have got to be excited, you know, and we'll talk about the football team, but just overall, there's a lot of excitement in the area. Why don't we take a quick break? We'll put basketball on the shelf and let's come back and talk MLB. It is heating up and our Yankees are red hot.
We're back, and we're back to talk baseball. So, as big-time Yankee fans, you know we're happy. We took 3 out of 4 from Detroit, and they have the best pitching staff. You know, them in Oakland have this crazy pitching
three
staff.
Three Cy Young
pitchers
in a row.
Yankee pitchers were up for the challenge. And you know what? It's wide open. I still have doubts about the Yankees making the playoffs, but why not? I mean, this team is right there in the mix.
We're battling. What I wanted to ask you about that is, so the Angels look like they got that first wild card, but right now, number two is Kansas City. And then the Yankees, Seattle, and Toronto are all neck and neck. So I don't know. I mean, when you think of KC, Toronto, Seattle, and New York, we got a shot. Why not us, right?
Sure. Again, the hitting is my issue. The pitching's pitching over their head. The hitting, I don't know. And there's some new additions, right? So Headley and Prado, Drew, none of these guys were hitting great. That's part of the reason why they were traded, because they were all underperforming versus last year and in Headley's case.
But Headley's stepping up in New York, man. He woke up. Headley's
he is.
Woke up a little.
He woke up. Sometimes you just need that little change of scenery. But the Yankees are in a virtual tie with Toronto, looking up five games behind Baltimore. But, look, as a Yankee fan, you got to feel good. You got to feel good. They're in striking distance. What, 114 games? So, what, 48 games left?
Yeah.
Why not? Why not the Yankees?
I want them to really win it for Jeter. But I'm not going to lie, stepping away from being a Yankee fan as like a baseball fan and purist, separate from rooting for Jeter in his last year, you got to root for Kansas City. You really do. It's hard not to root for the Royals. They're 60-53. They're right on the cusp. If the playoffs started today, they'd be in. I know you have feelings for the Royals too. That's a tough one, man. I'm sure a lot of people in this country want the Royals to make it.
No, that's right. And right now, yeah, right, I guess with tiebreakers and everything, right now it's L.A. and Kansas City are the two playoff teams. And then the National League, it's St. Louis, San Fran. Yeah, that would be great. You know, I hate it sometimes that the Yankees have so much more money to spend. So I like that these small market teams, Pittsburgh and Kansas City in particular, I like to see Minnesota do well. So, yeah, I'm pulling for Kansas City. They got, you know, Sal Perez. They got your boy Mike Moustakas. They've got some young and old. They've got a nice combination. They've got James Shields. They've got a nice little roster.
Yeah, no.
Allen in the bullpen.
It definitely is. And then in the National League, I mean, you know, what can you say? You still got the Cardinals who are, you know, right there in the wild card. Basically, I guess, the second team behind the Giants. And it's one of those things where...
Yeah, St. Louis and San Fran right now would be the wild card, right?
Right,
yeah,
because this is ahead of the Giants.
Yeah, Milwaukee's up. Milwaukee's by a game. Yeah, so it's Washington, Milwaukee, and the Dodgers right now, if the playoffs were to start right
now. Yeah. And so that's not bad, St. Louis against Giants in that playoff series. The Braves looking like they're starting to collapse. Your boy Bryce Harper, you know, Matt Williams sort of lost it with the media, but left the door open, you know. But Bryce Harper looks like he's starting to sort of wake up after a very tough season. I have him in fantasy baseball, and he's been out and injured and struggled when he was playing. But
change
that'd be great for them.
Chance.
Yeah, if he could wake up for the playoff run, that would be great. And we still got to wonder about these Pirates and the Reds, right? I mean, they're sniffing around. I just don't think they're gonna. I don't know if they can do it. I mean, the Pirates are right there. A half a game behind St. Louis. Which is impressive because seeing them in person, Ray, I got to be honest, I don't like the Pirates lineup. A couple of clutch guys in McCutcheon and Russ Martin, but overall, I don't love, you know, and Alvarez. I don't love the Pirates lineup.
Well, look, that's another small market team. That's another team that you'd like to see do well.
Oh, I would love it.
Yeah, they've got, you know, they got like the no-name guys, right? Neil Walker and Gabby Sanchez. They got your boy from the Mets, Ike Davis.
Yeah, ASU's finest.
McCutcheon, Sterling Marte. They've got, you know, a bunch of hard-nosed guys. What's crazy is they made all those trades for the pitchers, right? Grilly for Fieri, and they've done a little bit of juggling in the bullpen.
Right.
But they're doing all right, right? Liriano
they're hanging in
is
there.
Okay, and Volquez is hanging in there, and yeah.
They're definitely hanging in there.
I tell you what, man, the great thing about it is it looks like, especially in that NL Central, that it's going to come down to the final maybe 2 weeks of the season.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Anytime you have
team.
That.
You know.
Exactly. Anytime you have that, you've got to think that's fantastic for baseball, right? No matter what the outcome is, if you have three cities all involved for the,
right.
You know, presumably for the division, you know, for winning the division and one of the playoff
teams, right.
They did,
it's awesome.
You know, for one of the wild card bids, they did great. Baseball did great.
And this is what they wanted when they extended the wild card and even created the wild card originally, and then now this play-in game. And I think it's great because it is such a long season. It's a marathon, and this is a great way to keep more cities, more fans involved. How about this, though? Your boy Peralta, him and Wainwright, the first two pitchers, and maybe I think still the only two pitchers to have 14 wins. But Peralta pitching great for the Milwaukee Brewers.
That's Big Willie right there. First,
yeah, Willie with one L. You gotta like it.
First to 14. Yeah, he's doing his thing. I tell you what, man. I thought that Milwaukee team got off to a hot start. I thought they would collapse, but to their credit, they're hanging in there. They're right there in the mix.
Hey, let me put a whisper in your ear for next season, because we were talking about, you know, maybe Lester going back to Red Sox. Well, just like our caller had mentioned last show, Tyler, one thing that I just thought of the other day that I realized could very easily play out, how about next year the Yankees get Lester and Troy Tulowitzki to replace Jeter?
Stop.
I think it's happening. I see the writing on the wall.
Stop. Don't get me excited like that. That's not fair.
That
don't
happen.
Get me excited.
Tulowitzki is awesome. He's tired of Colorado. He's a little injured right now. He'll be back, I think. But he's had a great season.
He has, but Troy Tulowitzki always gets injured. I feel like this guy is always being injured.
Right, no, he is a little fragile.
The one good thing about the American League, though, is that you can DH. So if you're a little nicked up, you can still play in the American League. That's a luxury that a shortstop in the National League doesn't have.
I think they got to fix it. We talked about it with our caller, your buddy Mike, that day. We had a great talk with him. I really think it should be the same, whether it's pitchers or DH. And I think it should be DH, but I just think they've got to fix that, especially with all the interleague they do now. It's a new game. You know, and I think that baseball's slow to change and slow to grow, so they gotta make it happen. So, are you ready? Talking about making it happen, are you ready to talk some preseason, some NFL, some suspensions,
some
football, baby?
Oh, for sure. First of all, stop being suspended, man. You know, I'm tired of these kids getting suspended. Your career is so short. But, yeah, so the latest suspension is the safety from the Dolphins, right? Their season is just going nowhere now. Rashad Jones suspended for 4 games for performance-enhancing substances.
Ridiculous.
The Jets, did you see the Jets? They had a little two-man show there with Geno Smith and Michael Vick.
And I tell you,
both guys are saying the right things.
Yeah, and Vic said, "Look, I'd come in and do a little option and change of pace type stuff." I gotta say this, Vic, man, he, you know, after all his stuff and his incidents, you know, and this is why you do need redemption and you need a second chance, because you know no one is a finished book in the middle of their lives or in the young part of life, and people are human; they make mistakes. But we gotta applaud Mike Vic. He's really turned it around and seems like he's a genuine leader and has the respect of other players in the locker room, but a great teammate. He's really, you know, applauding and pushing out Geno, and that's got to be good for Geno and his confidence too. I think the Jets are surprising. They're going to be a surprising team this year, Ray. Jets and Rams. I think if Sam Bradford gets it going, yep, and Kenny Britt, we'll see the Rams tonight on NFL Network at 8 o'clock Eastern, play against the Saints and sort of that revenge ball with Greg Williams, and we'll see what happens to Michael Sam and all that. But that I think if Kenny Britt can get going with Tavon Austin and some of their other players they've drafted, and Sam Bradford can finally get time, because if he doesn't have time, he's kind of shook. But if he's got time in the pocket, the Rams with that defense and the running game, Trey Mason, Zach Stacy, watch out for the Rams and the Jets. So let me ask you this. What did you think about some of these rookies? A couple games last night, you know, it's preseason. The scores don't really matter. Who wins doesn't matter because, you know, guys play against bench, and it's all funny stuff. But you do like to see position battles, and you like to see rookies start to get acclimated to their, you know, offense and defense. Carlos Hyde looked good for the Niners. and D'Anthony Thomas, Ray, from Oregon, showed that it's not about your 40 time, it's about game speed with the pads. He ran one back and looked ridiculous for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they surely will not miss Dexter McCluster with D'Anthony Thomas there from Oregon. What do you think about those
guys?
Yes,
if he can stay healthy, I love D'Anthony Thomas's football skills. He scares me a little bit just because he's so small, and a bit like McCluster, he can probably play running back. He can play special teams. He might be able to line up as a wide receiver a little bit.
A little Eric Metcalf in him, huh?
A little Eric Metcalf was special. He was special coming out of Tennessee. He was or Texas. He was your third down guru. He'd get you the first down. Carlos Hyde was looking okay in San Francisco. That's one that Tay picked 6 months ago,
yeah,
even way before the draft. So
and
I
the
tell
Redskins
you what,
look good.
Yeah, yeah. I tend not to overreact from the first game. I like to see it.
Right,
I like to do the second
right.
game, you know, and then the second and the third games are nice. But yeah, you gotta say people starting to look good. Johnny Manziel apparently is looking good. Apparently LeBron looks good too at 6'8".
Yeah, he lost a lot of weight.
On the sideline in the Cleveland Browns practice.
Listen, you don't need a sort of in better shape. And it's smart, right? As you get older, to get lighter, especially in athletes, it's better for the knees. He probably learned a lesson from watching Dwayne Wade sort of, go through his issues. So LeBron, who's like a truck, dropping down a little bit, that's like genius. The Cav fans are ready for a treat. They're going to have a treat, Ray. I'm telling you, it's going to be crazy in Cleveland. But so let me ask you this, though. With some of these quarterback battles, we already know about Blake Bortles. They're not going to play him. They've said it. But what do you think in Minnesota? And we already know, Geno's the man in New York. But Minnesota and Cleveland, how do you think it plays out, I guess, week one? Or do you think both of these rookies in Bridgewater and Manziel, do you think basically they don't start and then they wind up starting like after both of their bye weeks?
I believe that Johnny Manziel will start bye week. Well, four is their bye week, right? So they come back off the bye in five. I think he'll start in either week five or six. They may give Hoyer, after the bye week as well, depending on their record. But I think certainly before midseason, I could see Sam.
Bridgewater.
Matt Castle. No, I was going to say Castle. I could see Matt Castle actually lasting a little bit longer than Hoyer. I'm not sure that Bridgewater is ready.
He said he's looking good in training camp, though. He's been looking good.
Yeah. You're right. But I think that Castle is your bread and butter, the career backup. Now he feels more comfortable probably in the system. You give him a little bit more time with Greg Jennings and, of course, having that Adrian Peterson to hand the ball off to. So I think it'll take longer for Bridgewater, and also the fans will be all over Cleveland. If they go 1-3 and Hoyer has a QB rating of,
start off
50,
with four tough games too.
Yeah. So I think Manziel by 4, 5, 6 games in, and then maybe Bridgewater second half of the season.
Okay. That's fair. So a couple of things. This is almost crazy and blasphemous to say, but I want to say it out loud on the show and share it with the fans and you and see what you think. Just throw it out there on Twitter. Do you think by any chance that all around right now, going into the season, that Jamaal Charles and LeSean McCoy could potentially be both better than Adrian Peterson?
So it depends on if you mean by fantasy football or real football. So I'll tackle
kind of both.
I'll tackle both of them. I think that real football, I think Adrian Peterson is still the best. Everybody knows he's getting the ball. So a bit like Walter Payton. Everybody knows he's getting the ball. He knows he's getting the ball, and he still gets his yards. He still gets his touches. And now in this North Turner system, he is going to get a lot of passes. And he hasn't been an exceptional pass catcher. He's been an average pass catcher. I think he'll go to above average. And with the spacing And with the schemes that North Turner puts in, I like Adrian Peterson. Now, in terms of fantasy, you know, I'd probably still take Peterson number one, but I can't be mad at you, especially if you're in a PPR league, if you end up taking Jamal Charles and LeSean McCoy ahead, because they are more slightly more explosive than Adrian Peterson. It's hard to say that Adrian Peterson is an explosive, but he's a different kind of explosive. He'll explode through you, and the other two will explode around you. So
right.
I still like Adrian Peterson, but from a fantasy perspective, I could see Jamal. I wouldn't be mad at you if you drafted Jamal Charles and LeSean McCoy above Peterson, although still think with the number one pick, I'd probably pick Peterson number one and maybe Charles number two and McCoy number three.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. And I kind of threw it out there just because, you know, sometimes I think I'll say Shady, he gets his respect. But Jamal Charles, Ray, he's so good that he could probably line up in the slot or even on the outside and play receiver. Like that guy, he is explosive. And remember, I think it's something still ridiculous, the number one or two, maybe behind James Brown, or number one yards per carry. I think he's at still at like 5.6 or 5.8 yards per carry, something crazy. And that,
that's
to
crazy.
Me is so impressive. So I think because he's in Kansas City, people, like if Jamal Charles was in the Jets or Giants, I mean, whoa. You know what I mean? Like he is definitely, and I think I have overlooked him myself a couple years, and now I'm starting to really, you know, you sort of watch him play. And, you know, this year they're saying he could get like 350 touches between carries and that's just like, wow. When I think of that in
that's
fantasy,
crazy.
I'm like, yeah, I want him on my team. I'll tell you that much. So, you know.
So, wait, before we end,
okay,
because we've done this in all the other sports,
uh-uh,
we need to talk real quick about the Hall of Fame, the Basketball
Woo!
Hall of Fame, because
oh,
we
yeah.
gave a lot of love to all the other sports. So we
and
gotta
it's coming up
give
this
all
weekend,
of our
right?
Viewers. That's right, just this weekend. So we got to tell all of our viewers. It's a big class, 10 players and coaches going into the Hall of Fame.
All right, give it to me. Who's going in? I know Zoe, Peyton, and Mitch Richmond, right?
Right. So we've got
that's amazing
Alonzo
right
Mourning, Mitch Richmond,
oof,
Bob Leonard, Nat Clifton,
okay,
Sharunas Marshallonis.
Oh, the Warriors.
Guy Rogers. And then you had coaches. Nolan Richardson, and your boy, Gary Williams.
Yes, yo, Terps.
NBA
and Gary
Payton,
too, the glove, right?
No, I don't think Gary's not this year.
Oh, okay. I thought the glove was, okay. Well.
No, it's Alonzo. And then, wait, okay. And then Commissioner David Stern.
Yes, okay, that's right.
And then you have the women's teams from Immaculata University in the 70s. So 10 entrance into the, what do they call it, the Naismith Hall of Fame, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So the headline is really
big class,
is really
good
Alonzo
class.
Mourning.
Yeah, I, you know, we, you know how we feel about those Georgetown centers, and he's obviously the second best behind, you know, Patrick. And too bad he went through his health issues. I think, you know, Alonzo, he probably doesn't get the respect he deserves. He might be a top 10 center all time. We'll have to look at that one day. But he was dominant. You know, I mean, he was great for the Heat and the Hornets. He held it down, got you the defense, the rebounds. He could score. He was just a workhorse. I mean, and he brought the lunch pail every day. And, you know, Zoe was impressive, you know. But didn't he wind up getting a ring in the back end with the Heat with Shaquille and Dwayne Wade?
Yes. Yes,
I think he got that ring, and
yes,
Gary Payton, too.
He was on that 2016, yep.
Yeah, Gary Payton got a ring with them. So, you know, he got his ring, and, you know, what could I say about Run TMC, Marshallonis, and Mitch Richmond? Love both of those guys. They just did a thing on NBA TV about Run TMC, and 3 years. In 3 years, they were electrifying, changed the game, had that big upset in the playoffs of beating Dave Robinson and the Spurs that 1 year. I think it was 91. I love Mitch Richmond's game. I think, unfortunately, Sacramento, he was just, you know, Patti LaBelle on my own, by himself, all alone. But he, you know, I think very easily he was always a top three or four shooting guard in the NBA, and I think played a little bit more defense than Drexler and definitely Reggie Miller. But he was right below Jordan and right in that conversation with Drexler, Miller, and Mitch Richmond. So I think he was a great player.
Yeah, this will be fun. And, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit on Monday if there's anything to talk about there. We'll look at the PGA. We'll give you the results of the PGA on Monday.
Rory taking it over.
Yes, keep our eye on Rory.
See, Tiger did make the cut, though, right? He just barely made the cut, I think, didn't he?
I believe so. Yeah, he wasn't doing so well.
Yeah, I think he just made the cut barely. He's got to get healthy. I mean, let's just be honest. Before you can really say anything about Tiger, he's got to get healthy.
Yeah, and I don't know how you do that in golf, right? Do you play yourself into shape, or do you stay off the course and wait till you're better and then get in shape? You know what I mean? So, not sure.
Step
back. Tiger missed the cut. Tiger missed the cut. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
I didn't think so. I didn't think he made the cut.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's the health. You gotta rest. He's got to, you know, and he probably won't do the Ryder Cup. He's probably going to rest the rest of the season. And we'll see you next year. And here comes Rory.
Just the fourth time in his career, he missed the cut. He shot a 74, and he just missed the cut.
So
he actually finished five behind.
And here comes Roaring Rory. Golf's new story. So, it'll be exciting. Listen, have a great weekend, good sports weekend. Maybe we'll get the final roster finally decided on for Team USA for the FIBA World Cup. We'll have more preseason games. Hope guys nobody gets hurt, no more injuries. You know what, real quick? The Knicks made a trade. How can we not talk about our Knicks, Ray? It's bench players, but you know what? I like Travis Outlaw. He's long, 6'9". And Quincy Acey played good in summer league and looked good, just like Tyler Johnson did in summer league and Keith Appling. And, you know, like Keith Appling signed with the Lakers and Tyler Johnson with the Heat. But Jeremy Tyler, who was last year's summer league darling and made the Knicks, he got traded and is probably going to be released, they said, along with Wayne Ellington, who never really played here. And they said they were going to stretch his contract. I don't know what that means, if they're going to release him or it's some clause. But so I don't even know if Sacramento is going to keep Wayne Ellington. But they also got a second-round pick. And the Knicks, what do you think? AC and Outlaw both could – I think they both can play well in the system and chip in 8 to 13 minutes a game, you know?
Yeah, Outlaw gives you size. Look, I was always – a fan of his, wanted him to become more of a well-rounded player. Look, he's a long stretch shooter, right? And AC will bang a little bit. So, like you said, you're trading role players for role players, but who knows? With Phil Jackson and Derek Fisher's system, maybe they see that these guys are a better fit. I'm never too sad, especially because we didn't build up any allegiances. You know, Jeremy Tyler, at times, people thought that he was a prospect, but you know, Wayne Ellington, that's our boy from Carolina, but yeah, nothing much to write home about. So yeah, maybe the change of scenery will help everybody.
Yeah, definitely. Should be interesting. I'll give Phil a lot of credit. One thing he's done is he's come in and made some moves that a lot of people didn't think he'd be able to pull off. So the Knicks should be interesting in the East and new roster and stuff like that. So, hey, let's have a great weekend. And we thank everybody for listening, and we'll be back on Monday.
We'll see you. Have a great sports weekend. Ray and Tay, we're out.
It don't take much strength to pull a trigger, but you gotta get up every morning, day after day, and work for a living. Let's see him try that. Then we'll see who's the real tough guy. The working man is a tough guy. Howdy people say.